It's very nice to kick off this new season, so I'm very glad about that. Also, the lighting's better in here, isn't it? Well, I do miss those two portraits on the walls. They're inspiring portraits. But I guess we have to put up that. Okay, in actual fact, what I'd do was to read. When Gilt phoned up, I said, well, I got this group of poems. I thought what I'd do was to read from that and then have a break and read from something else after. But can I just say, too, that I'm going to organise some kind of memorial reading at King's College to René Char, who died earlier this year. The French department there doesn't seem to think that anything happened after Racine, so I think that, they're largely right, but not entirely. But I thought that, and René Char's work has been a tremendous fascination for me for a long time. I hope I'm not insulting people if I just say one or two things about him and excuse myself, as it were, for dedicating this thing. He was seems to me quite a wonderful poet, but that's not the reason why this group of poems I've decided now is called Resistances. His first book came out in 1929, but the book that really still gets me, and I read a lot, is a book in 1946 called Feuillet d'Hypnose. That's spelled H-Y-P-N-O-S. It's like translated as Leaves of Hypnos or Pages from Hypnos. And it came out in the, as you can see, 46, just at that time when the war was coming to an end. It is, in fact, a book which records a great deal of his experience as not as a poet, but as a Maquis leader. And one of his code names was Hypnos. That is the Greek god of sleep, the son of night, the brother of death. And those are built into this wonderful book to do with his position of living, as it were, underground in connection with resistance for many, many years and leading it and being responsible for death and living mostly and fighting the Germans at night. So it deals with an underworld, someone who never sees the sun, but is in fact deeply involved in an anti-political, particularly disastrous action. Also, it's involved with dreams. And my feeling is that resistance hasn't stopped, certainly not in France. And I guess, like a lot of people in this room, I hope, we're still deeply involved in resisting forces that we don't, in our own lives, don't really agree to, particularly politically and economically. So I'm producing these later versions of some of these poems. I was much concerned with the way that what I'm reading now, after all these years, seems to still bear on our kind of our necessities right now. Lastly of these introductions, my first holiday after 4 years of war service was in fact in 1947 in the area where René Char worked in the south of France. And I met there a Maquis resistance fighter with whom I briefly did a lot of... I won't say I was crazy then, because I think it's still pretty potty right now. But he was a crazy pothole and gorge climber and used to go down these gorges. He knew the land extremely well because he'd fought in it. And he spent a great deal of time testing me to see if I could take this and take that. And when I tell you, he really was mad. You can see why I'm saying it still remains with me, this experience, quite a lot. He still appears in my writings, and these poems were mostly written very recently, I must say, with some exceptions. So, with that introduction to show you the connection, otherwise I think you might sound very spurious connecting myself with such a great poet. I'm concerned with the way, in fact, what I said, that last thing, was I'm so concerned with the way certain things keep reoccurring in one's experience, in one's memory, in one's activity as a writer, which seem to be what one, in the latter part of one's life, one now has to live with. Char read a marvellous book about Orion, the hunter, and his activities, and this poem, the first poem, is called, in fact, The Hunter. Each of these poems, by the way, has a quotation from Leaves of Hypnos in it. That was one of the ideas I wanted to have as a control. And most of it then deals with the recurrences of certain scenes and certain experiences in my existence. All over the place, all over the world. The Hunter. Large, how large are hailstones on the trail to pictographs now called shelter, under an overhang, hawk's feathers float over us from a flurry above as they launch out hundreds of feet above hot canyon ochres, tarless on tarless, the trail rough, a second time between poison ivy, cactus, juniper, spruce, now hail, flashes and thunder far out in the canyon series. Compensations no one can make or offer, lying days on end. We only just resemble. A ship sails to sea corals, inert algae and blood far out in oceans unmixed. Trying not to recognize or even allow inheritance to flicker a possible desire to murder or conquer, the torture instruments appear, a naked back towards us, an offer in a hood. A thirst we do not want in our eyes. What we, a conference on constructs, is reeled up and played back. Voice is heard without falter. From the Gironde, aromatic Orion among animals and herbs, chief resister against the Inquisition, birthless men and women he denies. In years' times, we invented ourselves in endless rain, sun, migration, stood, acted, deserts born. A second round of fire in alchemy, we created wasted treasure. A third fire, and only a single atom held out. Some learned a fourth fire, hatred of the sacred grove. Tyrants defined by challenge and deposition rose again in darkness, which appears as laws, in which we stand lucid, speaking what we break apparent series command. Usual invention once believed imagination safeties. What guides can guide what we off the trail, cut the thirst, not quenched it. The Hunter's eyes restored by dawn at sea. Orion's urge employed by gods and kings, but born to be a beekeeper. His wine on a bull's hide buried in a wife's grave. The child is born Orion watermaker, rainmaker, lives on the mountain. Turns on scorpion men as the sun rises. Oros, son of the sea, stands on a peak above the Pleiades signals for sailing weather. Stands above ocean again on East Moor Cliff. Burnt by thirsts weaponless, burnt at the forged snow, burnt, scarred by northern lights, lightnings, hailstones on the hawk trail in dreams. Fallen loves revive him to their own fires. Second one is called just High, H-I-G-H. It is no good up there. Once in high altitude, you crave nothing. The crave goes, the danger is to leap out of care beyond this skill. So soft, it's hard to prize apart, separate, flanged, the carapace its own mask. A rainy night myth, when awe comes cresting in, out of a sand-swept country, the need of interior harmony. At least up there, bigotry, superstition, and mess can be left as your corpuscles change. Exhilarated views of a marmoset seated on a rock above a 500-foot fall. Their nerve sets left dogma on a slab in Rome. This poem is called Death of Hypnos. It's about the longest I'm going to read. It's to do, I guess, with to help out a bit, because it's rather long, to do with the possible death, not in René Char's case, of someone who is inside resistance and gives his total energy to it. As it might not be actual death, it might be a death of exhaustion, or by exhaustion. I think that was the Maquis leader I met. I think he was completely exhausted, and therefore was kind of like crazed, still testing himself to see if he could do it. I guess one identifies a little. The death of Hypnos. Wealthy movies that pauperize. Vampire movies that prepare you for a modern operation. Enema movies that create their space for the normal by irradiation. Care, love, and dedication for the flawed, doomed, but undefeated, radiant heroes who attempted the impossible. See apocalypse coming towards, step aside, let it roll into its own pits for the misled. Let mass tyranny soak in its own decay those who would be innocent and cruel, who yell repression, meaning you may not survive them, but I must and will, call it heroic under the whip before death. Let the spots flicker, fade. Let those egos resist forever anything but desire. Discover their skin and their graves. For they felt it was their own mind hums their tune, tune from leaders and lead, electronic blindness. If you have known control, uncontrol, decontrol, how fusions move in, find no space, or smoke, retreat in their hum, then move to the edge, while you can, armed. But what arms anticipate enemy 2000? Where is a margin spring, a place to make new seeds, unmalign growth? Radiance, not the orange-purple radiance from climax, stolen molybdenum in Colorado. Almost infusible silver-white metal, permanent at ordinary temperatures, rapidly oxidized by heat. Women and men killed the mountain forests into a bruised blood lake. A stoic in his barrel is thrown into the current. A psychopath encouraged in himself far enough, but he cannot slide out. Too late, too tight, too shot through with resistance. Hypnos, no drops tonight, no place to await that lone plane's engine hope. Grounded loners are looking for comrades, this mob night directed by remote control. Every mass person armed with direction. Hypnos, undefeated resistance, victorious poet whose words are not available, to be sucked or drunk at speed. We need a place to listen to you. Let your clear new stabilities rise again in us. Then where would we go to live? Leave those who betray what they knew to the Gulf torturers. Is the price for sacrifices ever necessary? could not be asked, as your men waited in a night forest to ambush obedience in uniform. Armed education for one dimension. For your guerrillas were needed. New risk and were prepared. Knew precisely where they launched into a history. What they now prepared for. The last chance. Lack of comfort creates. We cannot need nostalgia if we are to reconstruct what comrades may mean. You were never sold to the product. Resistance learned from Orion among aromatic plants in rock places. The chosen torrent fallen in its stages. Down fern-crested clefts, periwinkle-tufted holds, small rough landing beaches. Shaped pebbles shine in rapid water. Deep place, high place, when air its humane natural sounds are absolute headquarters, passionate powers and rules of action. William Carlos Williams wrote a couple of short pieces on René Schur, which rather astonished me when I found out about that, I must say, because I think those couldn't possibly see what connection would there be there until obviously there is one. But there was a resistor, if ever. And this is quite shamelessly a kind of paraphrase of some of Williams's ideas, and interspersed with, if I may say so, from Williams on the show. Important for him to escape from all form. A man must be firmly anchored to maintain that position. All that art implies, not to be God, but leaving that to others, to fulfill himself with other order, in which there is no competition. He had crossed hell in his life, remained reticent, instructed, by a long life of multiple experience, silent as a goldsmith. Courage in his silence, his landscape, once a place to conceal for resistance, lifted out of such foxholes by plane for Africa and government. He gazed down in memory of those Maquis poets, tortured, murdered. We do choose our own weapons. This has no title, it's a very short one. Miracle of total transfiguration of beings and objects, with or without modification of their physical or anatomical aspects. So that is what this is, recurring. And it's not artwork, but a growth pruned twice annually. Resistance is the only hope. Tomorrow visions on the passage of poems. Again, this has no title. This is the groups of twos and threes, and it's done like that to slow it up. Boy, I was, never would be, a speck of white caught dying starlight. Lost him suddenly, film ends, dying there, light went out. So boundary is crossed again. Without violation, we troop out. Transworld's travelers each record their day with difference. No combat. This beach test is underfoot. These unknown trees, giant apricot blossoms, faces peer from strange epidendrons. Even this heat is new. Crossover explorers leave competing terms to their shit-eating flags. and commentator's blood. We don't lift our voices, although wells have been removed. A visiting poet notices two suitcases, two briefcases in the living room. You are ready to go, but some of it is still unpacked, or unpacked occasionally, after a glimpse of ivory trophies. Upstairs in the camp, a luggage collection. Two more pieces today shine near the street door. Howard Hughes died in the sky. Renishaw's pilot to Africa is an American. Plunge into the unknown, which cuts deep. Compel yourself to whirl about. There's a very sharp statement at the end by René Char here about his existence as a Maquis leader. Again, there's no title. The human being is perfect with power over you. You should be glad. Five injections and it is renewed, perfect. Unashamed killer. It eats, penetrates, sleeps gorged. Its perfection likes to see, smell, prod. You're red inside, smarting in the air. Or round up suspects who lost perfection, explode them somewhere perfect. Our leaders more perfect than us, make us innocent with cause, without alternative. The exceptional neither intoxicates nor moves his murderer to pity, but his eyes are needed for killing. This is a strange thing. The I read Paul Bowles' novel called The Sheltering Sky very early on. In fact, I read it when I was a student. When it came out in... It came out in 49. I think I read it in 1950. And then I wrote a small book on it, which Jim Pennington published, if you remember. And it's been redone. And Mr. Bowles is bad enough to say it's all right. He said, I put an S on a Moroccan word. He didn't like that very much as a plural. And one of the interpretations of my story didn't agree with. I left that in and corrected the Moroccan. Then you perhaps saw the program on television where he was interviewed. It was a quite wonderful thing to me, particularly as he let the interviewee really have it. And while I was, someone sent me a tape of this. I think it was you, John, actually. Somebody did, anyway. So I got a copy now, and I've played it a number of times. I think it's quite remarkable. And this, then, is in a kind of, I don't know, a sort of praise or a homage to Paul Bowles. Again, it's to do with precisely the point his book, like, penetrates into any reader, and in this case, this reader. There are pairs of lines, and each one, and most of them are very long. And there are quotations from what he said, which, as Emerson said, there are no such thing as quotations once you start to use them. To escape to discover a plane lands on vibrating tarmac, a boat wedges in volcanic sand. Thin lines between hard work and obsession. A train fails, decide to leap, to leave wherever this is. Palms in sea wind, long curved trunks over surf. Zen gong in the torch breeze, the prayer banners graze, arm hair. A courtyard deep in a souk, Thick Coffee by a Frail Fountain. Discovery of Danger. Will you deliver these documents for us? The Empty College Notice Board, Cold in Tunis. A Message for Explosion Elsewhere. Despair and Loneliness He Thought He'd Left Behind. Walk the Streets, Pray to Hustlers Who Need Aphids to Ants in a Chinese Quarter, Men Fall Beyond Statistics. Long Wall Cracks, Unknown Lianas Spring Strong from Split Buddha and Lingam in Masonry Avenues. Renounce Security Again. Run Through Known Streets Unknown. Lose Thought of Being a Person Stripped, Redressed into Out There. Disloyal, Dishonest Breeds Close to the Heart, Betrayal in Notes on Conservation. It Seems Natural. This Choice in Artifice lies broken into slow re-entry. Too late to convert touch into hold. Look, below the surface of mind, her breast, her eyes, a carpet silences. Dislodged into this part of existence, a ledge above rock, split sea, an unforbidden entry. Connection is impossible with prayer maniacs, street shadows, subtly press. By car from Suez north, slow dunes toward a vibrant tomb, the inner darkness, a sarcophagus by torch hand in Great Pyramid, a noise center. The driver spoke first as Commandant escaped from Dien Bien Phu, who knew the Djibouti salt cones and where to drink. Death by airlessness, poisonous sun, one way through a walk through Tuscan fields, villages from Perugia to Assisi, a tower high above that land. 10 o'clock, clear head, clear air, it is possible to descend now. A grey-cold silhouette in Castilian plain shadows, the cathedral congealed to dark, quick-emptied streets, trying to leave. One changes after all. One is not the same. What do you have to show for having lived here? Still the luggage, old and new. A naked unsatisfaction, a hardly glimpsed knowledge, desire and presentiment of things foreign and southerly, and the lure of long voyages. This is a little short poem which comes here because it relates to that previous statement, I think. I've always felt that one ought to be loyal to one's fears and not rub them out too much. Otherwise, what's the use of having that kind of valuable experience of being terrified? Loyalty to fear of the sea, rock cliffs, pathless forest, peaks and high marshland. To defiance, endurance, to assault on the state's loyal agents. The enemy fears you. You must not deceive him. This is a bit awkward to read. It's called Three Voices and they are numbered. And one has to, if you will, imagine, first of all, a statement by a group, and then a statement by someone they can't hear, and then one of the previous group replies. One, day to day, unjudged, unjudgeable, crumpled, the baggy khaki, the black boots, visored helmets, sunglasses, gold chains, personalized bracelets, stubble, badly mended flies. We are the Star Boys. We send you to break knuckles. Two, we must surmount our rage and our disgust. We must have them shared in order to elevate and enlarge our action. Three, we have. Now we are identified, as our histories informed us, primal, guiltless, repeatable. This is a complete steal. I just reread that marvellous letter by William Blake in 1803. There was a resister if ever, by the way. But the moment he resisted soldiers is interesting. I expect you all know that letter. I bet you'll see I've played with it, I guess, and introduced René Char Hypnos as another resister in similar ways. Remember, the drunken soldiers invaded Blake's garden. He tried to get rid of them and was accused of everything by the state. And this is a paraphrase of his letter and some of the things you might want to think about it. Friend, this is Blake addressing his friend he's writing to in 1803. Friend whose eyes have done me so much good, him who seethed in secret. A soldier in my garden threatened to knock out my eyes. Contempt for my person, affront to my foolish pride. Always a war on, as long as I can remember. Soldier, posture of defiance, I pushed towards the road, his attempted blows raging, cursing his comrades abusive, their revenge a sedition charge. The law is compelled by the military to attend this fabricated perjury. My friends came forward with bail. Every man now afraid of speaking or looking at a soldier. My evidence for peace must be tried in public. A too passive manner, inconsistent with my active physiognomy, has done me much mischief. I've been degraded and injuriously treated in my perilous adventure, so I, my person, degrade, and my temper chastise. All my talents bury, burn what I have written. The pen is my terror, eyes in a different face. And then it ends with the quotation from Hypnos. Hideous head that exasperates and corrupts itself. Soldiers and politicians, perverts of the imaginations. It just has a date on it. 8/8/88. There's nothing to do with that royal birth. I better round very quickly. To my horror, I'd ignored it and then discovered what I'd done. History catches up with you before it becomes history. A move in a structure of danger is the jargon. Make it so, and it is called, so-called, survival. Then time starts now. Boarding at gate 73, last minute ticket at the sign orders, fly. Look at that cop run after a hitman and near fire into him. Exhausted optimism I had to keep up choked me. Velocity legend interference. Then the thing changes gear a bit and becomes a little less somber. This one is called SOFA. S-O-F-A-R, I mean, not SOFA, so far. Again, strange experience came back, and I felt it at last. Halfway through the canal, in deck tennis, with the captain, shimmers an oasis in low dunes west, and utopia turned into voyage after voyage, flight stages in hells, imaginary solutions circled in for a kill. What object created in narrow, banked passage? Why look for a hooded figure to lead for strangeness, a gaze before enunciation, before a work, a space beyond finished sails? Contract to sail east, speak English. Let another juxtaposition in words unfinish this. Far again, cast off. Neutralized. Finishes and finishes out from someone's idea of learning, some perfection toward which we are marked, even if this going could be accomplished by one volume, world history, between deck games and wonder, at this task under a changed star diagram. Imprints emerge in win and lose. Sleep in a moving ship under a moved heavens, a map of currents, tide tables, canals. Urban concentrations make it a pure dream. Sound from slapping waves scores the end of root freedoms. Sturdy, dull street hominess. A sense of senses entered from unvisited places. Get intelligence going without the help of ordnance maps. This is a little shorter one. I was fascinated when I was in Bangkok, the way dancers move so differently to us. Ours, where their heads and wrists and fingers and arms move so differently. Cane chairs on a balcony over a Bangkok river to gaze on and imagine ports boats have entered. Later, dancers under long temple headgear begin with fingernails, fingers, wrists, one hand, its arm, then their eyes, in a slight head turn in an ancient inheritance. New fate is a glanced word as a dancer absorbs the drum musician's cross-legged in a low circular frame of carved wood. A narrow music, arrows, and they have learned to sing softly, not to whistle obsessive tunes, to tell truth just as it comes to them. And another music piece, which is dedicated to my very good friend John Whiting, who is recording all this. John is one of the founder members. He's the electronics expert with the Electric Phoenix Group. And he very kindly let me have a tape recently of the rehearsal that they did with John Cage for a piece the Electric Phoenix had commissioned, which, as you can imagine, was completely fascinating in every way. It moved me very much. It's nothing like hearing great artists in rehearsal to teach you an awful lot about art. John Cage in Electric Phoenix. The final words are from Shah again. Some of it quotes Cage, and certainly it begins with a quote. Let us carry on together without trying to respond to each other. Follow our own schedules that may coincide without intention. Move spirited, more than our usual obvious, not quite conscious, yet to keep shaping ahead, embrace chances by chance. Let in different waves, and hear by air and electronics distances and spaces in our own time, this time unrecorded, not running into whose idea was that, who speaks. So identities break and we can enjoy. We have not heard this before. No pages to turn, even signs point away. Compositions flung into a Mediterranean breeze, caught perhaps later in others, other forms. Is it music? Is it ceramic? Words? Or is it a smell, a taste? Is this asking to reduce to telling? Rather, it fades, and here we are on a bridge between vulnerable being and its ricochet towards the sources of formal power. I'll just read a couple more and then we'll stop. The two last poems in the book, in fact. Number 27 and 28. Excuse me. Let's find this. One was called So Far. This one has the nerve to be called It Begins to Be Clearer. Everyone had been at liberty to hope what he pleased about the future. Now what can happen? Necessity spins in a scene called destiny. Irrespective of personal ideals, hopes, desires, what will happen? Nouns, flesh, dying energy, fluid slows, glared androids, the fire behind them from metal leather hips. Ugly is not counter to beauty. Desire and art efface and retrace this frontier. But this ugliness decomposes its prey before death. It may not be permitted that liberty to fuse warrior to mechanism. Bodies have been snatched, incubated for some time now. In a sunlit high wind, their eyes are white. Nothing receives that liberty. The cliff-top horses toss their chestnut manes far off. Alerts in barracks for the security addicts. These carefully wrought emplacements of stones will be suitable points for resistance. Not far from sheer rock face into the welcome shoreless sea. Liberty, that it is to speak truthfully with terrible precautions. And the last poem, again ending with a quotation from Shah. There are days, he said, when I want to move in this house in uniforms, any uniform, even the one first covered every part of me, except the face, and then face adopted the inevitable. But I could never step outside to be ruined by a populace in invisible uniforms, a wardrobed mind at every point intercepted, surveyed, wired up in games. Children whose speech insists them as food is fed, or junk, or anything that recent. Memory by injection does not include a past, a library, a museum, a history of film. Memory without experience. As he clamped in a worn cassette, music so unheard, it became new. A threat to be violently unreeled and burned. Enthusiasm that lifts the weight of years.